Ask you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13, please. Have any of you ever attended a motivational seminar? Kathy and I once, we were young and foolish. Now we're old and foolish, but we were young and foolish at one time. I can't blame her for it. This is all me. I was not very smart at the time. We joined this thing called Amway. And Amway is an idea. It's a pyramid scheme is really what it is. But it was an idea, if you sell so much soap, you're going to make so much money. But if you get others to help you sell that soap, you're going to make more money. And after you get thousands of people helping you sell that soap, you're going to make great money. And they would do motivational speakings. They would come to buildings such as this, and they would invite people in. Go out there. That was the number one selling point. You got to bring people to the meetings. You got to get them down here. They got to come and hear me speak. And I will build up their faith in themselves. Well, that was the Amway way of doing it. There's all kinds of other motivational speakers too. There's plenty of them who go out and come to businesses. They'll go to businesses and they'll try to pump everybody up and get them all pumped up. Saturday Night Live did a thing on it with Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'll pump you up, you know, and that's what they did. That's what a motivational seminar is. It gets the people all excited about everything, and next thing you know, they're going out the door afterwards. I'm going to save the world. Yes. I fell for that stuff, hook, line, and sinker. Sadly, very sadly, that's what most pulpits are today. We attended a church with my money man, my investor, and that's all it was. It was just, they had fog going across the back of it behind the guy, you know, to make it more eerie, and they play a music. If you play the right music, you can touch people's emotions. Did you know that?
Sure.
It's a fact. If you play the right music, that music that they played in Old Yeller, nobody cried for the dog. It was the music they cried for. Seriously. They figured out that they can play certain types of music and it will touch the emotions of everybody. And it got everybody all pumped up about how good we can be. What good we can do in the world around us if we just give a little more money.
Yeah.
It was all about how you can quit being a smoker, you can quit being a drinker, you can quit being a fornicator, you can quit being all these other things, and this is how you can do it. It was it's a motivational meeting. This is how you can do it, is what they want to teach you. It's all about you. It's all about I. Motivational speaking, building people up. That's what people want to hear. Nobody wants to go somewhere where you hear, you know, you're a sinner. You're not just a sinner. You are sin. From the top of your head to the bottoms of your feet. The world doesn't want to hear about God is going to punish sin. Not just punish it, but destroy it. Burn it up in everlasting fire. No, they'd rather go to the places where they can hear, I'm going to be better tomorrow. No. They don't want to hear things like, there's nothing you can do about your sin. It's the way you are. It's the way mankind is. Country singer wrote it this way one time. He wrote a song that says, looking for love in all the wrong places. We love to hear things that make us feel better about ourselves. We love to go places where we feel better about ourselves. Pastor Tim James brought a message 2 weeks back. If you want to look it up, you can go on to Sermon Audio and scroll down. You'll find it. It's called Do You Feel Better? I highly recommend that message to anybody who is interested. If you're going to somewhere where you're walking out of there feeling better about yourself, feeling better about what it is you are, then you're not hearing the true gospel. You see, Christ came to save sinners. That's what the Lord Jesus, that's what Jesus is, the name means. Savior. He shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people. You're not going to be able to save yourself. Everything that you do yourself is sinful if it's outside of Christ our Lord. If it's not him doing a work in your heart, then it is the flesh. And God's people have no confidence in the flesh. That means not just, I don't have any confidence in my arm. That means I don't have any confidence in my mind. It means I can't be confident about what I'm even thinking about, but I know this. I know that the Word of God says, my Savior will never leave me nor forsake me. He says that all that the Father giveth him shall come to him. I don't have to trust my thoughts on that. That's his. That's his word. We have no confidence in our flesh. These other churches, they'll build you up. Look at how good you're doing. You're doing such good things for the community. See how good you are? Who wants to come to a church where a pastor stands there and says, you're all sinners? Scriptures tell us that we're just like the disease... with boils and all that all over you.
Leprosy.
That's how it describes all mankind. In the sight of a holy God who is so holy, how can we expect him to look upon us? I can't help but think to myself, why does he look upon us? Because of my Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you feel better? Look it up. Listen to it. It's a great message. This is a great question for anyone who sits before a pulpit and listens to one who speaks. Is the message glorifying man? Or do you hear a message that gives Christ all the glory? In 2 Corinthians 10:17, it says, but he that glorieth... If you're going to glory in something, if there's something that John Reeves does good, it's because Christ the Lord has done it in me, or is doing it in me, or is giving me the ability to do it. If it wasn't for him, I'd be flat on my face like a lot of people in drugs. And I know because I've been there. But that's not where my Lord would have me be today. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. God will not share his glory with another, and the only message that will bring true hope to a lost and sinful world is the message of Christ in him crucified. But that message doesn't bring hope to everyone, does it? Brought hope to everyone like they say it does, then everybody would be saved, would they not? If the God of all creation went to the cross and shed his blood on that cross, his perfect saving blood for all mankind, could anybody go to hell? No. But yet some do, don't they? Some hear the word of God preached, yet they get up and they walk out and they say, I'm not that kind of a sinner. I've heard a woman do that. We shouldn't be any surprised about that, should we? That some will get up and walk out on it. First off, we did at one time, did we not? Was there not a time in your life when you, I don't want to hear that. I got other things to do. I got golf to go play. I got football to watch. I got a hangover to go nurse, whatever it might be. Why should we be surprised that not everybody hears this message of Christ and Him crucified and have no hope afterwards? Why should we be surprised if the God of all creation, the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked this earth and preached Himself, and men turned a deaf ear to Him, how should we be surprised that they would do it for us? Not only did they turn a deaf ear, they crucified Him. They hated Him for it. Because He claimed that He was God in the flesh, equal with God the Father and equal with God the Spirit. Because He claimed that all life is His to give, sovereign ruler of all things, they hated Him for it. Because He claimed that His blood is the only way into heaven, they hated it for it. Because He claimed that His flesh was the only thing that feeds the soul of His people, these are hard things to say, to hear. They hated Him for it. It's the only message that'll save, but not all will hear it nor listen to it. The gospel is preached to many, but few understand. Are you with me in Matthew chapter 13? Let's begin with verse 10. No. Verse 9. Our Lord Jesus says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." And His disciples came and said unto Him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" Now let's go back up to verse 3 and read this parable. "Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and just devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell in good ground, and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." "Why, Lord, why do you speak to him in parables?" And He answered in verse 11, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not." Lord Jesus Christ walked this earth, and He did miracles, so many miracles, that even all the books could not contain all the miracles that He did. And He didn't do them in hiding. He didn't go into the back room. "Here, come here, let me fix your hand. Let's go over here, though. I don't want everybody to see it." No, He did it right in front of everybody. What do you think, what would go through your mind if you seen a withered hand all of a sudden become whole? Whoa. That would blow me away. Well, it blew those people away too. He did things that nobody could do but God. And even in doing those things, proving that he was God, they still didn't believe him. Why? You're not my sheep, is what he told them, isn't he? You don't hear my words because you're not my sheep. And here comes the blessedness of his words. My sheep hear my voice. My title this morning are Blessed Are Your Ears. Our Lord says, my sheep hear my voice. We look into the Word of God, that's the voice of God himself. This is how our Lord speaks to us now. Before he came, before the book of the Bible was put together and written by Moses and all the other prophets, before all that came together as this book that we have right now, he spoke in the tongues of prophets through visions. But now he speaks to us through his word. And his word is very clear. You are not my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. My Father gave them to me, which is greater than any, and no man can pluck them out of my Father's hand. Because he's God. Who can turn the will of God? If God is determined to save somebody, he's going to. No, he's not going to come and pick you up and drag you down the aisle, make you kicking. No, I don't want to be. No, I don't want to be. No. He's going to move into that heart and cut that old stony heart that says, I don't want this person to rule over me. And he's going to give you a new heart. Through the preaching of his word, he comes to us all. And he takes that heart out. And he puts a heart in that believes God. Whosoever shall believeth on me shall be saved. And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. How are you going to call upon the name of the Lord if you've never heard of him? How are you going to hear? If God doesn't send a preacher to preach about Jesus Christ and him crucified. See, that's the good news. That's the only gospel there is. Christ, my Savior, crucified for my sins, taking my iniquities upon him into the grave so that I can have his righteousness from my own, perfect in every way, that I can stand before the Father and say, Father, oh merciful God. Verse 15, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, as I should heal them. But, from all of that out there, from all those other religions, yeah, I know, folks. No, I'm not trying to say this is the only spot in the world. I hear that. I hear that. People come, well, you're such an isolationist group. You think you're the only people in the world that are saved? No. No, I know some over in Marysville that are. I know some out in Danville that are. I know some that are down in San Diego that are. I know several little groups around the world that are. It's not just this little place. But it looks kind of like this little place because there's so much of the other stuff. There's so much of the eye worshipers. And very few of the hem worshipers. Blessed are your eyes, and for they see, and your ears, for they hear. You hear the gospel because Christ has given you ears to hear. The only reason that this message would bring joy is if God has revealed to you the sinner that you are. Because when the Lord reveals to us that we're a sinner, we have no choice but to come to Him broke, completely destitute of anything. Nothing have I to offer Him, only my Savior. See how that works? Nothing have I, only my Savior. It raises Him up like the brass serpent. Raises my Lord up to where He should be, on the top of everything. Blessed are my eyes, for we see. Blessed are your ears, for you hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. So now He does it again. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. What we just read a moment ago. Behold, a sower went forth to sow, right? When any one heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. Many come into this church over the 17 years I've been here. And like the woman and child that got up and walked out and said, I am not the sinner that man is describing. She walked out because it was by the wayside. I wonder where she went. Did she find one that tickled her ears? Made her feel good about herself? She obviously didn't feel good about what Christ has done, because that was what was being preached. There was no message about what we have done, but there was a message about what He has done. Isn't it amazing that God Almighty would shed His own blood, lower Himself to become flesh, so that He could have blood and shed it for others? Could anyone describe mercy more greater than that? Grace more greater than that? But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. He heard it. Oh, that's a great message. Yeah, I love it. Put all my cares and wants into Him. Yet hath he not root in himself, but he dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. That's the ones who say, where's your God now? It was great as long as everything was going fine in my life, but now I've got problems. I need a real God. I need one I can touch. That's what we see Saul doing in our Bible. Oh. I had it there somewhere. That's what we see Saul doing in our Bible study. He went to the Lord. He had seen the good of the Lord, but the Lord's not answering him anymore. So what did he do next? He turned to the devil. soon as this one is offended, he turns. He also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. What do you mean I have to give up this or that? What do you mean I have to stop doing that? Really? Oh, I can't do that. And it chokes out the word. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground. Here we are, back at the gospel once again. He that receiveth the seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which is also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some, and hundredfold, and some 60, and some 30. Now skip over to verse 37, will you? And let's just spend a couple of seconds, a couple of moments here looking at this further description of the seed, of the sower, this parable. Our Lord describes it completely this time without question. Doesn't beat around the bush about it. Doesn't tell it in a picture. But he comes out and very clearly says, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. God Almighty. He's the one who places the good seed. He's the one who waters it. He's the one who feeds it. Yes, men bring water and stuff and they plant this, but it is God who gives the increase. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, and the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. Everything is going to be burned up, folks. Except for those who are in Christ. And only because of Christ. And only because of what he has done for us shall we be in the glory and in heavenly bliss. Pardon me. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears, let him hear. Do you hear the word of the Lord, folks? I don't know about you, but it brings a great joy to my heart to know that not all shall perish. To know that there are a remnant, a small few that God has chosen to have mercy upon. He says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. Not for anything we have done, but for his Son's sake. Our Lord has mercy on us. Amen.